Well, thank you, Elizabeth and Pierre. That was very interesting. So my name's Rupert. I'm going to try and keep to 10 minutes because we've all been consuming a lot of information today. So, and then just have some questions, hopefully. But our process is really in its early days. It's baby steps for us compared to where the AMAP movement's got to. I'm handing out a copy of our charter, the UK CSA charter. But before before you sort of consume yourselves in the detail of that, I just wanted to give you a bit of background to activities in the UK. But first of all, maybe start with a question. I'm just wondering how many people here are looking at establishing networks in their countries. If you raise your hand. Okay, so there's quite a few, some halfway up, some full way up. And how many of you are interested or think there's value in writing a charter of some sort to galvanise the work in your network? Okay, so quite a few, but not everybody. Okay, yeah. Not the Italians. Oh, you did put your hand up. Okay. Oh, you did. I'm sorry. So my name is Rupert Dunn, and I work in my job for a UK charity we call the Federation of City Farms and Community Gardens. One day we'll get a shorter name, but the name of the charity doesn't represent all the work that we do. It started with the City Farms, and the Community Gardens came along in the 70s, 80s, and they were included in the name as well. But really, I work in Wales. For the Fed, and I support community-supported agriculture work in Wales as part of my job, which I'm very lucky to do. And we only have six, maybe seven, CSAs in Wales. We've only got a population of 3.5 million people, and it's quite sparsely spread. We've got two cities that aren't particularly big. So making CSAs in Wales work are a challenge because, as Jill was mentioning earlier, there's not that many big towns in Wales with the demographic of people that tend to buy into schemes like CSA. So we've basically been getting the projects together. We've had three gatherings of CSAs in Wales going back over the last 2 years. And gradually over that time, people have got to know each other, and that's always the first starting point, is just people becoming friends and getting to know each other, and the bonds between people have got stronger over that time. And we're not yet constituted in Wales, but in the future we probably look towards establishing a Welsh CSA network. And we've been looking at a Welsh, because we have our own language in Wales, and we're looking at a Welsh definition for CSA that means something within Welsh culture. So one phrase we've come up with is ffermio gyda pobl, which means farming with people. So we'll still, in English, it's perhaps a bit confusing. In English, we'll stay with CSA because it's so well known, but in Welsh, we can use this phrase. And because of devolution within Wales, the government in Wales has quite a lot of power, not as much as Scotland, but we have devolved a lot of laws. They're interested in potentially supporting the CSA movement into the future as an avenue to create jobs in rural communities. So we're continuing discussions with them. So then, talking about the wider UK network, we've recently launched a UK CSA network, and there's one or two people here that were at our launch in early December in Stroud, and we had about 120 people came. It was a very inspiring day, and I was really struck by the producers that spoke and presented on that day. We had a stage of, I think, four or five women who were all producers, and I thought that was emblematic of the CSA movement and its potential to be the vehicle for the next generation of producers, and consumers. And often these producers at this conference were all women. And I thought that was brilliant. So the UK CSA Charter isn't really a formal document. It's really as it says at the start, it's defining the values and principles. So it's not setting down what projects can and can't do, and what CSAs can and can't do. In the UK, I think we realise that we have a much more diverse model of CSA than perhaps the AMAP system. I don't know if that's fair to say. So we have CSAs that are producer-led, which perhaps is more akin to the AMAP model. But we have many CSAs that are consumer-led, where the consumers get together, rent the land, hire the producer, maybe even, as we are in St. David's, training a producer from scratch. And there's many different models in between. So we didn't want the charter to prohibit any of that diversity that we already have in the UK, and there's some 200 or so CSAs that we have. But we did need something to bring together everybody's understanding of what CSA can be and help each CSA to explain what it is they're trying to achieve. So we felt the charter could help help them to talk about what they need to do. It could help the network talk about what CSA is, and it could help promote CSA as a model to people who aren't already engaged in it. And the definition that we've got really is any food, fuel, or fibre producing initiative where the community shares the responsibilities and rewards of production in a spirit of mutual trust and openness. And this can be achieved whether through ownership, investment, sharing the costs of production, or the provision of labour. So that's a pretty broad definition, but I think it is representative of CSAs and not perhaps other models of community growing or farming in general. And the diagram underneath just shows really on one side where you've got the risk that people are engaging in a partnership with the farmer and they're taking on risk, whether that might be buying in money, work and effort. But in return for that, taking that risk with the producer, they're getting an immense amount of reward in terms of the produce, the community, the values and the ownership. And we wanted to talk also about the ecological aspects of CSAs. So we've used the permaculture three pillars really of people care, earth care and fair share, but written our own descriptions in underneath those. So people care, a fair and steady income for the producer and a relationship based on trust. We also put in access to healthy food at affordable prices. So we feel strongly that I think CSA is an avenue to be able to get organic or ecologically produced produce at a fair price that more people can afford. Earth care, a chance for the land and biodiversity to flourish due to the farming methods. And again, as Pierre was saying, it's really up to the producer to choose how they want to produce that produce. And fair share, a share in the harvest of healthy. We did put organic and biodynamic in there, but didn't stipulate it. Low carbon was also an element. Low carbon produce, a connection with the producer and the land and each other. So it's all stuff that really I think we're very familiar with. And we just looked at some of the ways that this model, the CSA model, achieves its aims. Direct distribution was obviously a key element of CSAs, so we felt that we needed to stipulate that. The shared risk I've already spoken about, and the connection to the farm. Veg box schemes were the first model really to emerge in the UK in terms of more direct distribution, but they didn't really encourage connection to the farm. And we've got one big veg box scheme in the UK called Riverford Organic, selling 50,000 boxes a week. You know, they're all organic, they're great, but they're not necessarily encouraging a huge amount of collaboration with the producer. We do have another document which we reference in this called Sharing the Harvest, which goes through really all the different kinds of models of CSA, but we didn't want to go into that detail in this. And then what we have said is that when CSAs join the UK CSA network, they agree to manage their CSAs based on the principles in the charter. And we feel quite confident saying that, even though our process of conversation, if you like, with the CSA movement hasn't been hugely extensive, because we've kept the definitions broadly very open. But really, this is not this is not set in stone, this document. It's a starting point. And who knows, you know, in 5 or 10 years' time, we might decide to have a far more comprehensive rewriting of the charter and really engage a lot more people in the conversation. But this charter has changed. Essentially, we've had regional events around different places in the UK where CSAs in different regions have got together. And we've sent this sort of draft charter out, and someone has read it out, and they've come back with comments. And then the charter has evolved from those comments that have been sent back. And it's been a very cordial, a very easy process, really. And people have been extremely supportive, so it's been very valuable. I'm going to talk a bit about the UK network. 3 minutes, okay. So the charter underpins the values and principles. And then what we're really looking at in the UK network is a decentralised model. So we do have a UK board, which I'm on. We're volunteers. And we have one coordinator who's currently paid one day a week and to underpin the work that we're doing. But really, we're looking at a neural network, if you like. So if you look at the brain, I think Colin Tudge was saying in the Bristol, that in Stroud, that the brain is not a decentralized model. It works regionally, if you like. It has different nodes. And that's the kind of way that we envisage the UK network, that it's really managed by the regional hubs. So different CSAs in different parts of the UK will act as a hub for their region. And they might organize a regional gathering in their area. And they will do things in the way they want to and the way they feel best. And we felt that was important to have that autonomy within the regions. And then we've got a board, and we're just looking at creating working groups on the board. So one of the working groups will be looking at membership. And the membership for a CSA is £1 per member of CSA. So we felt that was the fairest way to our CSAs to join the network. So if you've got 200 members, you pay £200, but the £200 mark was the cut-off point. A year. But you can also join the CSA network as an individual or an affiliate, or you can just donate. And so we're going to create a working group on membership, and we're going to look at a bespoke insurance package for CSAs with an ethical insurance company called NatureSave. Looking at peer-to-peer mentoring, so how can we capitalize on the immense amount of knowledge and skills that are in the movement? And we're worried that people have got involved with CSAs. They might have set them up. They might have done some really valuable work and then stepped back from their CSA, their core group, or their committee. But those, I think we can try and tap into those people to help them mentor other CSAs when they're starting up or hitting difficulties. One other membership benefit that we're looking at is a hardship fund. So just a small amount of money, really, that if a CSA was going to cease to exist if they didn't have some money to tie them over for, you know, a month, then the hardship fund could just keep them going. And more than anything, that demonstrates the solidarity that the network is all about. And then look at things like seed discount and other benefits, perhaps. The other purpose of the network is going to be promote the movement, to really get it out there. And because we haven't had an independent network, organisation promoting CSA, CSA has been absorbed into the plethora of the work that other charities like the Soil Association and the Fed do, with the best will in the world for those charities that have done the best. But we need an independent voice which isn't tied down to the agendas of funders, basically, as well. So we can be political if we want to be. And advocacy is going to be an important area that we need to develop. And we're going to work in partnership with the Land Workers Alliance, who are the UK branch of Via Campesina, to work together on policy and advocacy. And creating a website. So creating a really good website that works well, that the regional hubs can use, that we'll have a good listing of CSAs on there. I did have a quickly, I just wanted to show you a website on the computer. But yeah, so we launched a crowdfunding campaign on Tuesday. We've raised £1,214 so far since Tuesday. Our aim is to raise £6,000 in the first 2 months, and then we're aiming to raise £19,000 altogether. And that's going to be funding the first phase of the website, and then the second phase of the website, which will be building in the sort of social media and the more dynamic aspects of it. And then we'll be looking at helping to support our coordinator, so the central person for one day a week. But there's loads of information on this website. The link is on the poster in the room. So if any of you can support by helping to spread our campaign, that'd be fantastic. We need all the help we can get. It's exciting and scary at the same time. But we really felt, just to finish really, that one really important aspect of launching the UK CSA network was that we raise money from our own movement before we look at any grant funding, so that we really show that the movement shows that they want us to exist, that they want the network to exist. And without that, without CSAs actually paying up to join as members, then we don't feel that we demonstrate our need to be here. So this is our challenge right now, is to raise that income from CSAs, from individuals, from organisations, but most importantly from CSAs. And it is a challenge. You know, we're volunteers on the board. We're all doing a million and one things. So fingers crossed that, you know, we can get there and we'll build something sustainable in the next few months.